So, welcome to the first introductory tour of the glyphs in Chemo. And Tichelle is going to be my partner in crime, so we're both doing this. I want to start off with a common misconception that we have about these glyphs, because there's the Shomat book telling us the Shomat story right in front of us, the blue book. Most people think that this age is the age referred to in the Shomat stories, but in fact, it's not. It's not related. If you look at the Dani timeline, Shomat lived in the 300 years. He was coronated in the year 300, and the DRC website gives some information about Chemo, and that it was written around the age 8100, in a period that the Dani named, well, or had, that was a garden binge. They were all crazy about garden ages. So, because this, because there's a similarity between what the Shomat story tells us about how the Dani sometimes treated outsiders and what we know about the Baro, people usually think that this must be Shomat's age, but it's not. For one thing, maybe you want to open the picture named Sources now. This is sort of an introductory thing. You can see several links in there, and I will post these links in the Tapestry Forum after the tour, so you can do reading, back reading yourself if you want to. The original artwork for these glyphs was done by Stéphane Martinier, and according to Josh Staub, a lot of other artists at Sign were involved in creating the glyph art and actually putting it into the game. So it was a team effort, but the concept of the glyphs, the original artwork, was done by Stéphane Martinier. And what I'm presenting you is not, you know, what I figured out myself, but there's been a lot of research done on these glyphs, starting basically from Yuru Live Times. There were a lot of people that, you know, enjoyed talking about these glyphs. You can see one of the links is a very old Echo article by Larry and Dani. For those who don't know, the Echo was a newspaper magazine that was published during the days of Prologue. Then there's a lot of threads at Euro Obsession, most started by photographer, and that go, several of them go very much in depth on researching on these glyphs and what they mean. And if you're interested, there's also a study group at the Dani Linguist Fellowship Forum. And at that, they don't only have a forum about that, but they also have a website where you can see all of these glyphs either photographed or even extracted from the game. So if you want to do some back reading of them, those are the places where you can check back to read. The way I'm going to do this tour is talking, basically giving you an introduction to the glyph we're talking about right now, and maybe asking one or two questions, and afterwards, after the tour, there will be discussion time. But if at any point in time you feel like you want to add some information or ask a question please feel free to do so. It's just that I found out it takes a very long time if we do this as a discussion, and it's just more comprehensive when I do a little presentation of things and then people start adding things. The next picture I want you to look at is the OneNote map. As today is the introductory tour, we will not be talking about all of the glyphs. We will be talking about this one right in front of us, and mostly about those labeled 1, 2, 6. So that's the sequence that's around the fountain, and also the one that's behind the bamboo type forest that's labeled Baro Gathering number 6. So before we really get in depth about what these glyphs mean, I would like to show you some artistic inspirations on how these glyphs came to be. So we're going to be a little bit out of character. If you look at the pictures I send you named, for example, R.A. Seagull, all of these can be found in Utah. You will find the way the figures or people are represented, you will find that they're very close to the style of these glyphs. Maybe not this, the Seagull Canyon one, not very much to the one we're standing in front of, but the style is very, very close to Native American art. Also, you can, if you look at the one named R.A. Rochester, you will find that the principle of just spreading small figures out on a wall is also very close to what we can find here, and you might want to take notice of that arch-like shape, because that's actually what we can see in a different glyph than this one too. But now here comes the biggie concerning the glyph that we're standing in front of. You already started speculating and seeing animals. This one is basically interpreted as a hunting or a herding scene, probably more a hunting scene. And if you open the picture named Newspaper Rock, you can find a Native American rock art picture that is obviously not only a creative inspiration, but parts of that picture were actually copied and pasted into this glyph we see in front of us. So I personally think this was sign just, giving credit to their creative resources by just, in one glyph taking almost an original one. If you can't detect it yet, I can show you a little spot in the newspaper rock picture that's very easy to detect. If you look at the writing newspaper rock and go to the second E, and from there you go straight up to the part where the image gets darker again, you can see something that looks like a little wristwatch or a ladder below it. Do you see that? Do you see the watch and the ladder?
I do too.
I see it.
Okay, so just try to keep this area in mind, and you can see that actually not only in one place in this glyph, but in several other places. Try to find the watch and the little ladder.
If you know very much about the history of the Native Americans in this country and how we treated them, the story of the Baro closely resembles that story. And Rand and Ryan and Robin grew up in New Mexico where they still have reservations and a very strong Native American community.
Yes, that also brings us to the question whether Yisha or the Baro drew these glyphs. Now, I'm not sure if everybody has played Myst V, but there's some information concerning Myst V that now makes it clear that the glyphs were actually of Baro origin. Before we knew that, it wasn't quite clear because they in some way also resembled Yisha's childhood drawings in Myst Revelation. But these are actually, now we know these were actually drawn by the Baro. And since Tichelle made that reference to Native American history, I also think that this is the basic theme that runs through all of these glyphs. Maybe not this one, as it probably just shows a hunting scene with animal hides spread out and hunters and game, hunting game. But I think all of these show either Baro history or Dani history when it's related to the Baro and related to how the Dani did injustice on the Baro by treating them like slaves or animals or game. Okay, are there any questions about this one?
So we don't know too much about this besides the fact that it's a hunting scene or a herding scene, but we don't know, for example, which age it might be from?
No. I don't think we could actually say, knowing the fact that this glyph was actually made by cutting the newspaper rock, the actual existing glyph, into little pieces and maybe adding some things and just, putting it together like, putting together a jigsaw puzzle wrong. I don't think that this would actually show an actual Dani age. I think this is just reference to, out of character reference to their creative inspiration.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And there
There
are a lot of glyphs here that as you go along on the tours and subsequent tours, you'll find out they were here long before we had any information to know what they were. And we don't know if this eventually would have gone to something or if it is to point us towards the basis of some of these stories. The Native Americans were referred to as animals and treated as such here in this country for a long time. I also forgot to mention that where Cyan Worlds is now, up in the Pacific Northwest, they still have a very strong Native American community up there as well.
Yes, I don't know if you've played Myst V yet, but there's a very round house in Nolobin, and that's very similar to the Baro Cave here in Uru, from the inside at least. And I know these adobe housings in the southern part of the U.S., but in North Dakota, I visited a reconstructed Native American village of Mandan Indians, and they actually built round houses too, like half a sphere. That was the shape of their house. So let's go back to the fountain and start off there. So we're going to start on the left side, and you might have peeked at it in the way it was labeled in the map picture I showed you, but I still would just like to ask a question I think that's very important in Myst games, and you might recognize it from the Myst books, the what do you see question. I think that's the central way of getting access to any kind of content. whether you want to solve a puzzle or want to find out more about the Dani culture. It's not only about reading, but it's about observing things. So if you look at the picture on the left, what do you see? And what do you think this shows?
Helena.
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
I see the machinery on the right side.
Prism.
Uh-huh. What could that machinery be?
If it's
Peladon.
Looks like some sort of cog wheels.
It's the soda machine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird. Looks like the Baro are holding something up to it.
Or maybe they're just manipulating the controls there.
That are chained to each other in a line.
Uh-huh.
That would be baskets, because we know from Sharper's journal that in Teledon the Baros were not only kept as, you know, as prisoners in the prison, but they were actually slaves to do harvesting on the spores.
There's
so
another one in the upper left corner that's holding a spear or something.
Yeah, that one's different, right? In which way is it different from the figures that we would interpret as Baro?
The head looks somewhat different. Mm-hmm. Also has something like a tail coat or something.
Yes, and it has much shorter arms, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to differentiate between Dani and Baro figures and this one, but if you look at the other ones, you will start to discover that Baro are usually depicted with very long arms,
yeah,
and the Dani usually have a body that looks more like they're wearing clothing, and also they're often wearing a staff or a stick. What do you think the shape next to the right prison cage is?
Looks almost like a skyscraper. Is it some sort of building?
What would be next to the prison in Teledon? I mean, you know the prison, right? What would be next to it where you couldn't quite go there?
The pipe system?
Well, it's not really clear, but my best guess would be, and that's what people have speculated, that it's probably a representation of the mechanics that open the doors of the prison, you know, where you can move it up and down and change the order of which plate has to be put down or left up.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah, because it has these little dots on it that makes it sort of look like a chart. And if you look at that, and you know how these things actually look, and if you look at the representation of the solar collector, there's one thing that you have to keep in mind when looking at these glyphs. Most things will, you know, look very close to what things actually look like, but the perspective might be different. For example, we see the solar collector and all of its mechanics from above, and not in the perspective from the side like we see the mushrooms. And also the thing next to the prison cave doesn't really look what it looks like for real. So you always have to keep in mind that the perspective of things or the way things are depicted might not be realistic, but might more be symbolic. So this age is obviously one where we, by reading, learn a lot about the linkage between Dani history and the Baro history. They were used as slaves, and which is also important to know about Teledon, is that while they used to be slaves to do harvest work, they later on, once a person named Manesmo got control of the age, he illegally used it as a slave trade central. And from there on, he sold Baro as game to an age named Rebek, which we do not know much about, but we also know from Sharper's journal that it was an age specifically designed to hunt game, but not regular game, but Baro for fun. Now, if you look at the Baro figures, you might notice that some of them have dots, red dots on them. And this sometimes occurs with dummy figures. And when it's with dummy figures, you should keep in mind the information that in the Dunning-Gill system, dots were part of displaying your guild rank. So on your clothing, if you had a lot of dots on it, I don't know if they had buttons for that or something, then you would be a lower guild rank, and if you had only one dot, you would be the grand master of the guild. With the Baro, the question of what the dots actually mean is much more difficult, and we will have to get back to that later. Let's just move on to the next one, to the right of the Teledon one. What do you see?
I think it's Garrison.
Definitely looks like Garrison, yeah.
Yeah, just try and identify the things that makes you think it's Garrison.
The tower?
Mm-hmm.
The huge building in the center and the smaller building to the left of it look like the two buildings in Garrison, and their sizes seem roughly proportional to each other in the same way that the actual buildings are.
Mm-hmm. And what else can you identify?
Some larger figures which look like the old maintenance suits.
I was trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah, the larger ones that sort of they resemble closely the huge old model of the maintainer suit that we find in Garrison.
I see rows of people to the bottom of the image and to the right of it that have the dots and some lines on them as well, and they look like Dunny.
Well, that's kind of, with Garrison, it's kind of hard to tell. We have some information that, you know, you may remember Victor Laxman, I think it was Laxman, writing about the Age of Garrison and talking about the wild beasts that have to be kept out. And I'm not sure if he was referring to the Baro. Another reason the Baro might be there would be that that they were used to test, for example, the functionings of the wall. The wall was actually designed to have competitions between Dunny people. For example, the prisons in Garrison weren't for Baro, but for Dunny. But I think these figures with the red dots on them are Baro because they have very long arms and very short legs, and they don't have a staff.
I'm also seeing several series of red dots.
Yeah, and the red one up above?
Yeah.
Well, somebody tried to put them on a grid and found out that they actually can be placed on a grid. And by that, it was speculated that they represent positions in the wall. So they sort of are representation of the wall game.
That makes sense.
If I can get back to the figures quickly, if most or all of them are Baro because they have the longer arms and no staff and that, it looks like they're surrounding the buildings and Garrison. So what would that mean or suggest?
That would point towards that information that Victor Laxman is afraid of what's outside and of the whole system, that you couldn't easily get into the big tower building, that was in fact, there were a lot of safety measures that were put in between the outside of the age, all the woods, and the inside. So maybe they also lived there, and the Dunny were afraid of them and kept them out.
Irene, although it was Simpson that wrote the Garrison book, and he says in that, I looked it up the other night, he says, the creatures, these things are something out of a horror movie. So he was seeing them there. I'm wondering if the maintainers also had hunting games on Garesian with the Barro, you know, just to practice and teach them how to track them before they sent them out into the ages.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole reason for Garesian was not only to have these gladiator-type games, but also to test new technology, basically maintainer technology. So that I think that would be a good guess. Maybe they used the Barro just to test new technology.
So maybe it was a sort of hunting preserve where you let the Barro loose in the forest and then you send the maintainers out to test this technology when tracking them down?
Yeah, maybe. Remember, Garesian is also the place where we get our key. And there's more than one key dispenser in Garesian. I mean, one only works for us. But probably this whole key technology thing, you know, GPSing and being able to track things, maybe that's related to that also.
Something else that we weren't sure of, and I read, they think the Barro were being imprisoned there as well. So that I read that in something just recently.
But the problem really is that we can find a skull and a carcass in the prison, and that's clearly human or dummy. It's a human skull in there. I'm not really sure who said that the prisons were made for those who, you know, for Dunny prisoners used to test the wall. I'm not sure where that came from.
Well, the story about prison cells, I think that's told in the book of Tiana.
How they were designed?
Yes, and how one cell at a time could be accessed. And then because of a turning system.
Ah, okay. So that you think that would be the same technology in Garesian and on the upper level where the prison cells are? I mean, that's in Garesian, when you go to the conference rooms, there is they show the layout of the different levels of the building, and that really does look like it is. The prison cells can be opened while maybe the upper part of the building rotates or something.
Actually, I have a copy of Simpson's Garesian Journal. I'm looking at it right now, and it says that the turning of the buildings was designed so that no one could link in at any point because... unless you linked in the very exact center of the building, then it's rotating, so you don't know where you would link in. You might link into a wall, or you might link into some dangerous place. But what I was... Actually, never mind.
No, that's good. That actually points... That's one more thing that they had very, very... a lot of, you know, safety measures, so that it was very hard to get into that thing that's like a fortress.
And we do link into the center of the small building.
Okay, let's move on to the one on the very right. Now, we don't see Barro figures in here, but the Barro also tell about the Dunny. So if we don't see any Barro things in a glyph, it could also be a Barro perspective on what the Dunny did, or on their ages, on their people. And what do you think this shows?
Which part are we looking at?
The picture on the very right, not the one washed out.
It shows Kadish Tolisa.
Is it? Yeah, trees, a tall tree.
Yeah, tall trees, and do you recognize the vault on the right?
Yes, the hanging vault.
I do now.
Is the... pyramid second from the right?
Uh-huh. The pyramid with a large globe on top of it, and it also shows how the proportions aren't right of the pyramid, but it shows how the pyramid works. Light comes down from above to lighten up the floor. So the pictures on the very left probably show the part of Cadiz where we have to look through the telescopes. I think that's what these three dots on the rectangle are about. And I'm not really sure about the small square with the dark shadow on it, but I do think it represents the moon room puzzle, because it's actually what you do. You have to create a dark shadow that you then walk on it, and it opens up to become a door. I think that's what's shown in the little square. And you can see also the sun and moon apart from the trees, and you can see that the trees are much, much taller than the buildings. And this is maybe why the Barrow showed the age like that. We know that at the time Cadiz created the age, of course all his architectural structures were, in good shape, but he made a mistake and forgot about the growth of the trees. And the state we see Cadiz now, after he's, after hundreds of years and after he's died, we can actually see that the trees have again took over the age. What's really unclear is what these shapes below the places are that we've been shown, the little squares with the red triangle and the circle below the shape that might be the moon room. And what we found out last night is that if you've played Myst 5, these shapes below there are very similar to Barrow language symbols. So they might either be a Barrow word or number, or they could, I think they look so logical and so mathematical. I think they might show something like a principle underlying each area, like a physical principle that's used, for example, in creating the puzzles. But that's really unclear.
If the thing second from the right is the pyramid and the thing on the far right is the vault, would those squares below them have something to do with the pillar puzzle?
Yeah, maybe the pillar puzzle, but that would be in between and not right below.
Well, it is below both of them, kinda, but I actually don't see how the squares could resemble the pillar puzzle in any way. So maybe that's not a good theory.
I mean, I could see the one below the pyramid resembling the pillar puzzle, because it has the white dot in the middle that could be a pillar. But then the one on the right shows this, this red big triangle and the two smaller white triangles all in a square. And I think that looks so abstract. It's really hard to tell what that could be.
So the symbol on the far right, is that Kadesh's vault or something?
Well, the one above, I think, is the vault, that's hung up.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just think that these symbols below the shapes that are probably places look different. I think they look like... I think they look a lot more abstract than anything else we see.
Yeah.
So let's... Oh, the circle with the center dot. I think that's the sun or the moon. Well, what's kind of weird is we do have a sun on the far left, so those would probably be two moons. And I don't think we have two moons in Cadiz, do we?
I think there are. If you are just about the area before the pyramid...
I never noticed. That is a Native American top symbol that represents a sun. If you look on the New Mexico license plate, they have rays coming off of theirs, but the sun basic part is like that with the dot in the center.
Yeah, but we got a sun in the far left, top left.
No, that's a moon. It's small.
I mean, top left got rays coming off it.
Yeah, it does look like rays. Well, maybe we have two suns and one moon in Cadiz. I don't know.
Maybe.
Okay, let's move over to the ones that look washed out or scraped off. And before we discuss these, I want to send you or let you check if you got that picture I sent you earlier. And it's the one that's named 03EK223JPEG. And if you open that, this is an extracted version of the glyph that's so washed out, and it's much easier. Well, depending on your graphics cards, it's probably much easier to look at this one that rather than looking at the real glyph because it's so washed out. Michelle, would you like to start on this one, or do you want me to go first?
No, I can go ahead. This one is heavily speculated on what all this is. I think I've seen three different opinions. One is that it's an example of Rebec and that it was scrubbed out because Rebec was such a horrible age. Another one is that it represents the cavern. And my personal opinion is that at least part of this represents Gira. And the reason it has been scrubbed out is that Gira was one of the Barrow's actual homeland ages, and they were taken away from it.
And so you think it's scrubbed out by the Barrow, and by scrubbing it out, they want to show how it once was, and now that they don't have access to it anymore?
Yes, I think they're telling us that it's totally been taken away from them. And in ancient Egyptian times, where, you know, like in the pyramids and all of the, everything was so graphical with them, they actually would chip away and mark out people out of history in a way similar to this, you know, to denote that they didn't want them in history or to show they were gone or whatever. And I think this is something similar to that. Also, in one of Yeesha's ending speeches, she says, "The ages like Chemo and Gira are a sampling of the playthings of Dunny. With disregard, the least were stripped from their homes. The lives in those ages were consumed, and the Dunny gave nothing back."
I mean, there's definitely a couple of shapes that clearly could be Gira. For example, if you look at on the far right, you see these almost round shapes that are open below that look sort of like an omega sign, and those could be the huts that you can see beyond Gira. And the thing that looks like a cage with maybe a huge Barrow figure in it, that could be the cave up above, and or the thing that looks like a grid could not be a cage, but just a representation of the waterfall, because it does have these squiggly water lines below.
And have you ever wondered to yourself, when you get to the cave, why is there this really huge, heavy wooden door? Were they keeping something out, or were they keeping something in?
That wooden door looked like it might be. That wooden door looked like it might be more Dunny technology than Barrow.
They'd have to be keeping something out, because if they could just jump off the waterfall if they were in. People, anyway.
Yeah, that's... Go ahead.
Not if you had bars in front of the areas to where they were made into cages.
Right.
That could be. Maybe they barred them off, and that's why we see the bars now. But they're not there anymore. I mean, aside from all these basket things that might be fish traps, we do see some sticks in there and ropes. And so, actually, there could have been... all those wooden parts that are not clearly basket could be, you know, taken down bars. Well, the reason why people have been thinking it's Rebecca is that they thought the left side showed the cave and the island of Ayagura in the middle, and so on the right part would show Rebecca, because you clearly do see Dunny figures, some with bows like hunters, and many of them with staffs. But maybe that's just if you go with a theory that it's Gira, maybe all the hunting and the staffs don't show the hunting age, Rebecca, where the Baro were hunted, but just that they chased the Baro away from Gira because they just used it as a fishing age.
Wasn't Gira originally one of the garden ages as well, but taken away?
Yeah, it was also said that it was written around 8,100 during this garden binge era, but I'm not sure if it ever was a garden age. It doesn't look a lot like a garden. It looks more like it was used for fishing. Also, if you think of the huge carcass that's there, I mean the huge bones, they can't be wark. That could also be a huge animal that was hunted.
Yeah, I remember reading in the journals that had been taken away after they found that people lived in that age.
Wait a minute. This might be a crazy thought, but could Gira be the age mentioned in the Shomat journal?
Not if it was written around 8,100 and Shomat's age, where he had, you know, he wanted to have the Baro all killed off there, or whoever lived there. That was in the 300s.
Yeah, there's pretty good evidence for Gira being a late age. It was written at least during the time when the guild was in control of Dini.
I think that was the Baro technology. I think that was their energy plant, not the Dini.
The steam?
You got to be careful what you say is Dini or what's not, because they used interesting techniques depending on what age they were in.
Well, we know there are villages over in a different age. That's actually a different age. It's not Gira, but they are somehow connected with each other. And also the fish traps. I think it's clear that some other society was there before the Dunny showed up.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason the Dunny weren't allowed to use it. It's not a public book.
I also have a theory I want to throw out at y'all. If you want to go to Gira sometime and just look at it, and then go look at some close-up shots of Shroomy and the model of Shroomy and all the drawings of Shroomy, that is a Shroomy rib cage that's there in Gira. And I don't know if some of these figures we see that looks like big animals laying on the ground, if that's a representation of that somehow they got these shroomies there and that's where they slaughtered them, because they would be a food source.
I always thought that shroomy was more like a huge shrimp-type animal, not a mammal that would have bones. Are there any bones like a rib cage-type bones on the drawings in Sharper's office?
The model of Shroomy has her ribs sticking out. And if you see some of these close-up shots that people have taken of her, where an admin actually pulls her up onto the ground, you can see those bones sticking up. And Sharper, and I've read through his journals, he describes her as being like a killer whale with the bone structure. She just had a hard shell on her top.
Oh, I always thought those things sticking out were part of her shell. I mean, some shrimp or lobsters, they have these things, you know, sticking out, coming out as some kind of protection feature of their shell. But are you sure they're bones?
Yeah, it's a set of ribs. Just count them sometime and look at them real close. It's ribs. She's kind of like a wark with a skeleton inside, but just that top part is hard, like lobster, but she really has a skeleton inside of her like a big whale would.
Cool. I want to look at her right now. Maybe if we have time, we can go check later on.
I'll have to send you some close-up pictures I have of her that I've saved. And it gives you some real good shots of those rib bones sticking up and just what she really looks like. And how some of those bones, these things we see, could be her jawbone and her where some of her appendages were attached.
Cool, yeah, send it to me, please.
While we're here, I forgot to mention two other things about this that make me think it's Gira. Is up in the middle, up at the very top, you see two figures with dots on them. And I think that little structure is the linking book alcove. Also on the far left, you can see how they designate water is always wavy. I think the dark area around that circle represents the lava.
Mm, that's a good theory. I remember Verilyn had the theory that this was a view from the waterfall from up above, and it was just, well, you know, what could be the cave, if it were, you know, the cavern, is actually the, you know, just the trail of the water when you look at it from way up above. But it could also be lava, right? I always thought that the things next to the dummy figures, that would just be part of their bows.
Yeah, that's real hard to tell, isn't it? Because they do look like bows. It's really strange looking. But the barrow, I mean, there might have been something around in there that they hunted also that's no longer there. They had to eat. Also, if you notice to the very right, there's those little loopy or half circle structures, and they kind of remind me of some of those wooden structures that we see on Gira.
Mm-hmm. I thought they would represent the housings beyond Gira. But, you know, Victor said that they could also be steam vent caps. But, I mean, there's some figures in there that are clearly dunny. They have their staff or their sticks, and they have different types of clothing with different patterns on them. Why would they be in there? I mean, would it just show Gira in its state before the Dunny invaded it, or would it show the invasion?
The Dunny had to go somewhere to get the Barrow and take them as slaves, and we have those little strange hut structures that I don't, you know, it looks similar to what we've seen now. Something else I think's interesting that I've thought about on all these glyphs is the placement. If you'll notice, Kadesh Talisa over here by itself, and the two ages where they were taken into being slaves and used and killed to the far right, and to me that says they were taken from their home, all of them went to the right, and all of their wealth eventually wound up over in his vault. I think a lot of what we see actually at some point belonged to them. Some people have speculated of those wooden statues. Who are they? Where did they come from? They kind of look like they have wings on them, and they're very large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're wondering why these barrow figures look kind of hunchback, I think those are the wings. I think that's a pretty good theory, if it would be Gira and, you know, showing where they were taken to on the left and where their wealth was taken to, or what the Dunny wealth was, you know, came from. It might really have their, you know, be their individual, you know, their fish or their whatever they had. It just could be in a more metaphorical way, is that the wealth of the Dunny came from taking from other people. Now let's move over to the one in the bamboo wood or whatever that is. Just follow me, please.
Another one of my favorites, because I love all this controversy and debate.
Yeah, this one is the coolest. Okay, if you want to look at the picture in your key named Balcony Stone, that's a picture of the Balcony Stone in the neighborhood, and we might want to take a look at that to figure out, for one thing, what dots mean, and what's the most important question is what the eye, or it's called the crying eye, but it's not really sure if it's actually crying, but because it has these three lines, people call it the crying eye symbol. That's also a big question, what that means. And with this one, I'm just going to present several theories onto you. So you might just want to listen and jump in first and then jump in later. If you look at the Balcony Stone picture, just a second, I have to open it myself.
Bye, Tyrone. Are you leaving? Okay.
Bye. Sure. So
just
the Balcony
so you will
Stone...
Tyrone, just so you will know, I like to refer to this as the all-seeing eye. I'm through.
Okay. If you look at the Balcony Stone picture, you can see that it actually tells the story of Uru Prime. You see the two, you see the Varro Cave and how the poles are in the beginning. They're there. You get them. You put them on your Relto, and then you put them back and get to the different Varro Cave where you can actually, you're able to drop into the cavern, you know, the shapes that look like mushrooms, those are the representations of the two different states or the two different Varro caves. And you also see two Varro, one on the left and one on the right, who are wearing, just like in this glyph in front of us, the crying eye symbol on their body. And here you can also see what's typical when they're depicted, short legs, very long arms, and the hunchback type figure that's probably their wings. And in the center of this glyph, there's small Varro that don't have the eye on them yet. And there's this crying eye symbol. So whatever is, you know, whatever this eye symbol means, it has to be related to the story of Uru Prime. And the best guess would be, remember, Yisha tells us that you free a Varro soul, that this could be a representation of a soul. If you look at the glyph in front of us, before we get to the point where we have to figure out why there are eight dots, this one is made up of different lines. On the very bottom, you see eight dots on a little row. Then you see small Varro figures that are very simple, and they don't have the eye symbol on them. And then you have the larger ones that are, you know, almost depicted like individuals, and they all have the eye on their body, in the center of their body. And way up above, you see the eye symbol. And I'm just going to present two different theories. And the first one I'm going to read out to you because it's a really beautiful theory. And this is just about what the eye means, the crying eye means. This multi-layered symbol reifies a variety of ocular functions, both on the physical and metaphysical level. It symbolizes physical sight. If the Varro existed as a slave class, they would have observed the Dani in every walk of life, even while they were not seen or not meant to be seen themselves. It also symbolizes moral sight. While the Dani either overlooked or thought little of the enslavement of the Arawatan peoples, the Varro were firsthand witnesses of the darker side of the Dani and the injustices of slavery. And it also symbolizes mourning because it's crying over those very injustices. It's a powerful statement that the Varro chose the symbol to represent themselves. Even while the eye is weeping, it is wide open, So sadness and justice exist side by side. Though they were stripped of their freedoms and rights at every level, they could not be robbed of their freedom to look, to see, to observe. So the self-representation through the mourning eye is both an act of resistance, because the eye stares unflinchingly at its dummy oppressors, and an act of remembrance, and the eye, because the eye pays respect to the troubled and troubling history of the borrow. So if you think about that, for in itself it may make perfect sense, but if you think back about the balcony stone and that the eye could probably depict the soul that is, you know, the center of the story of Euro Prime, you could also see this glyph in a different way and see it as different stages of borrow existence. Then the eight dots on the bottom, they could show like a pre-state, like when they are not born yet, something very, very simple, like a cellular phase. And the next step, where they don't have the eye on it yet, it could show them not being complete, not being close to, you know, the status where they have the eye. And if you think about the eye being, in many cultures, being a symbol of God also, the next stage could be that they are sort of enlightened. They have the eye on their bodies, and they have come closer to Yahweh, both meaning that, you know, they have a soul, and also meaning that they have access to some knowledge or wisdom related to Yahweh. And over it all, the eye could represent the eye of God or of Yahweh. I'm not really sure. We don't really know if they believed in Yahweh as the same, you know, the same way or the same deity that the Dani believed in. But if it's a single symbol, we can be pretty sure that they have a monotheistic
yeah.
Belief. So,
yep.
Well, we could also call it the maker. And that way, that theory doesn't really contradict the eye being a symbol of the soul, because the soul is what, you know, brings you closest to the maker or Yahweh or God, whatever you call it. So this actually could show both a development and evolving of Baro in their, like, a life cycle, eventually coming closer to God, and also maybe their relation to Yahweh, that they have a certain ability that makes it possible for them to be very close. And if you think about their abilities of linking, they surely have some insights or abilities that point towards them being very close to the maker.
Yeah.
Michelle, it's your turn. I hope I didn't steal too much.
That's okay. Are there any people here that know about the Freemasons, the Masonic Lodge? Okay. I call this the All-Seeing Eye, which has some of the same meaning of what Irene is speaking about with the Eye of God, the Eye of Ra, that type of symbolism. If you have a United States $1 bill and you look above the pyramid shape, that's a Masonic symbol called the All-Seeing Eye. They also call it the Great Architect of the Universe. And considering who's the Miller Brothers' father was, I'm sure I won't speculate that they're members or that their father was a member, but surely they know about all of this symbolism. And I think that's what this eye means. Also, to me, if it was a crying eye, the rays would be wavy like water, or it would have little teardrops coming out of it. And these rays are straight, and that's usually the way it's depicted when it's used for the eye of God and like the sun.
Yeah, if you look at it above, you can see what might be the iris, a circle with a dot in it. And remember, we thought about the sun being depicted that way, both in the glyphs and both in Native American art. And if you look at the eye in the Barro figures, they just have, you know, the eye shape and a dot in the middle. And in many, many cultures, the sun is also a symbol for God.
Hmm.
What's still one sort of unclear is the dots on their bodies. And somebody has speculated that they show chakras, energy points on your body. And somebody who knew this theory really well counted them and said they're not enough or one too much or something like that. But I think either they're tattoos or something that shows that they're maimed or they have been bound or they were like cattle, or they show some sort of metaphysically related energy points, but that's not really clear.
And also find it interesting that maintainers have this eye symbol over their book, and in the middle of a maintainer suit, both the big EV suit and the skin suit, their symbol is right in the middle of the suit with the eye. And if you take away the little bottom portion of the book, it almost would look just like this with the rays coming off of an eye.
Yeah, let's move over to Yisha. That would be the closing of this tour. Follow me, please.
This is interesting. I'm having rainstorm sounds, but no rain.
Ooh, me too.
Me too. I hear the rain and the thunder.
So this is the question that's an opening to this tour, and that will have to be discussed on the intermediate tour. The question, you know, always coming up, what does the eye mean? And if you think about what Tishel just said about the maintainer symbol, if it shows eye over book, if the maintainer symbol shows eye over book, that would make perfectly sense, because they were not originally, not their guild wasn't designed as some, you know, military type police force that did evil. All these injustices that we've learned about, they are actually against the basic guild rules of how to deal with the written ages. One of the rules is that if you find an age that's inhabited, then it will not be done, and they would have to destroy the book so that nobody could access it, or at least they could not claim that age done. So this was one of the rules that was broken. And also, for example, this was one thing the maintainers looked over, and they looked over several things concerning the art of writing, if it was done well, if the ages were in proper order, if the ages were handled well. So they were actually watching over the guild of writers and anything related to maintaining ages. So eye over book could mean that they just took their symbol, or they just created their symbol showing the purpose of their guild, that the eye is the symbol of Yavo, and the maker watches above, you know, is higher than the art of writing, and it is the purpose of their guild to take care of this rule being abided. So the open question is, or the question leading over to the next tour is, if you look at Yisha, you can see the volcano and the cleft, and from the cleft you can see, you know, the tunnel system. And if you look at Yisha, she's also wearing a staff, but a staff that has like a sun shape on top of it. One thing I want to add about the staff, if you look at it, in her picture, also with the sun symbol on top of it, in Christian iconology, Christ is all shown very often with a staff, because one of the ways he's being referred to is the Good Shepherd. So with Yisha, that might point towards her being the grower and being the shepherd, the new shepherd of the Dani, taking care of them. Anyway, the question is, if Yavo, the symbol for Yavo is the eye, and the maintainers use it because they take care of, you know, the rules of Yavo, and they use the eye over book. Why is Yisha's symbol eye on book? What does that tell us?
Maybe that she has the writing skills of the maker.
Yeah, that could be. But having the writing skills of the maker would place her equal to the maker. I don't think the Baro or the Dani would go that far, you know, putting a person on the same level of importance as the maker.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it just shows her gift of having, through her knowledge that she has gained, also in coming closer to the Baro and their wisdom. I think it just shows that while in the maintainer symbol, eye and book are clearly two separate things, and the book is below Yavo, she is somehow closer to the maker. She has some knowledge and some insight that sort of puts these different things together, and that she might actually be the grower.
You know how Jesus and shamans and wizards, high-level wizards like Merlin, Dumbledore, are all shown holding a staff, and so it's some symbol of high-level knowledge, I think.
Yeah, in medieval art, the Pope also uses a staff, which is a symbol of his power and his position.
Has anyone here played Miss Five and has a speculation for us on what that is that Yisha's got her hand on?
Slate, or a slate.
Very good. We all wondered about this for so long, and as soon as some of us had played Miss Five and we were here looking at these, we were all so excited because it's like, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah, I think it shows a slate on a slate pedestal. That whole thing that looks like a handbag with legs, I think that's just slate on slate pedestal, or maybe book on book pedestal. But I would think slate too. So this is the ending of the part of the tour where there was more lecturing being done. But if you have any questions or would like to discuss anything, this is open discussion time, especially because you didn't have the chance to express your thoughts or think about the Baro gathering glyph that we just talked about before.